Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ken Davis is here, too. Ken is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's one of the resident historians here at the Small Business Advocate Show. But long before that, he started writing the book, Don't Know Much About History. And he's written a whole series of books along that theme for adults, many wonderful books for children. I own some of both of them, and a number of other books. His new book is called Don't Know Much About American Presidents, and he's our good friend here to talk to us about Labor Day. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you, and you and I, of course, are among those people who actually labor on Labor Day, but that's a fine thing. And I should I'll start off the day, the quote of the day. Labor is prior to and independent of capital. Capital is only the fruit of labor and could never have existed if labor had not first existed. Labor is the superior of capital and deserves much the higher consideration. And that's not Karl Marx speaking. That's Abraham Lincoln in his first State of the Union address in 1861. Interesting perspective that probably wouldn't find a receptive audience in the party of Lincoln these days.
No, I don't agree with you on that, Ken, because I do think that it'd be an interesting debate to have along those lines. But no, I think what the party of Lincoln would say today is that both capital and labor have their place, but both of them have to work together so that it works for both sides.
That's the problem.
That is the problem. Oh, that is the problem. Exactly. And I think you'd agree with me from both sides it's the problem. But the other thing that I wanted to say is that one of the things that I'm grateful to my parents for, James and Virginia, they taught me the nobility of work. They never said it that way, but I watched them work. They showed me how to work. And the lesson I learned from them is that all work is noble. What do you think?
I agree completely with you, Jim, and I also come from a background probably somewhat similar to yours. My parents were working people out of the Depression era. My father drove a truck, and yep. I'm one of those kids who, you know, was the American dream in the sense that the next generation did better than the generation before, and that's where a lot of people feel like something's come off the rails. But just to go back to this question of Labor Day history, just some quick background here. The first American Labor Day, 1882 in New York City, right here where I'm speaking to you from, it was organized by workers for workers. It was set on the first Monday in September because it fell halfway between the 4th of July and Thanksgiving, which is basically the only other days that workers had off at that time, save for Christmas and religious holidays. So those are the only other holidays.
It was a Tuesday.
It was September 5th. I would have to go back and check on the day of the week.
But, I think I looked it up and saw it was on a Tuesday.
There were then 30 states over time gradually introduced the Labor Day. So it became a state issue before it became a national issue. Now, what was the first Labor Day for? Well, certainly they wanted to give the workers a day off, but they were also interested. This is 1882, the Industrial Revolution. They interested in organizing. They wanted fair wages. They wanted an end to child labor, and that's a big one. We forget that in 1882, well into the 20th century, children as young as 10 were working in the mines and factories, doing the most dangerous and dirty work. And of course, they wanted the right to organize, which had been denied to them. So that's the roots of the working labor trade union movement getting started in America. And it was a very, very violent period in our history, as you know. It was a sort of civil war.
The day off that they took was unpaid.
That's completely correct. This was, and so there was a parade and there were picnics in Union Square in Manhattan. In 1894, Grover Cleveland signs a national Labor Day into law, making it the first Monday in September, keeping it that date. Now, it's not that Grover Cleveland was such a great friend of labor. He had just, in fact, a couple of weeks before, sent 12,000 troops, federal troops, to break a strike against the Pullman Car Company, which was at that time the biggest manufacturer of railroad cars in America. He justified sending in troops, without asking Congress, by the way, on the essence that that the railroads were necessary for the country to go on. But it was pretty blatant. So this signing of the Labor Day law was almost a kind of a bone tossed to the labor movement. Cleveland was up for re-election. He thought that that would help him with the labor unions that were just beginning to form with the working class people. It didn't help him. He was not re-elected, by the way.
Hey, Ken, by the way, if I remember correctly, it made its way through Congress at record speed for the time.
That's right. They were ready to sign this very quickly, partly as a reflection of the fact that working people, working class people, were voting in larger numbers and starting to vote on these very much these progressive populist issues, which were gaining strength at the end of the 19th century. Most of the things that they were arguing for, and we can tick them off, an 8-hour day, a 5-hour work week, the end of child labor, fair wages, a minimum wage. None of those things actually happened until 1938 under the Fair Labor Act signed into law by Franklin D. Roosevelt
Even though some companies did institute some of those, including Henry Ford, right?
That's correct. Ford had, of course, astonished the world by paying his workers $5 a day, which was more than double what a worker made at the time. And the brilliance of it was simple. He was paying his workers enough money so they could afford to buy his cars. And of course, with the factory system that he introduced, he was able to reduce the price of automobiles to the point that working men who were now earning $5 a day could eventually buy them. And that was the beginning of Ford's explosive. Of course, Henry Ford, for most of his life, was very, very anti-union.
And pretty parsimonious, too, basically, folks. Quick break. Right back with Ken Davis. More on Labor Day after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.